from St. Mary's University of Minnesota. You're listening to St. Mary's Currents. I'm your host, Ben Rogers. According to Pew Research, the total number of students in special education went from 3.6 million in the 1976-77 school year to almost 7.3 million in the 2021-22 school year. And these students now make up 15% of the K-12 student population across the country. Along with the rise in special education students, schools across the country are facing a shortage of special education professionals.
In St. Paul, school leaders are offering hiring bonuses in the thousands of dollars. And in districts around the state, school officials are struggling to fill open positions.
At the beginning of the current school year, 70% of schools surveyed said they had openings for special education teachers.
We are losing teachers, and it's impacting the kids with larger class sizes, classes being dropped because there's no teacher, and special education students are being waitlisted for help.
In today's episode, we discuss the state of special education with Kate Nelson, program director for the MA and Special Education Program here at St. Mary's. Kate and I discuss what has led to the rise of students in special education and what can be done to combat the shortage of teachers. All right. Well, Kate, we really appreciate having you on the podcast here today, and we're really looking forward to discussing this topic with you. But before we dive in, could you introduce yourself, your professional background, academic interests, and what you do here at St. Mary's?
So I appreciate you having me. Thank you. I'm Kate Nelson, and I'm the program director for the Master of Arts in Special Education. And this is an online program that's based out of our Twin Cities campus. For me personally, my journey in education began in general education as a history teacher. And in this role, I quickly recognized the significant gap in my training when it came to supporting students who had mild to moderate learning disabilities. So those would include things like dyslexia and attention issues like ADHD. So despite being a general education teacher with this giant inclusive classroom, I lacked training in special education and learning disabilities and procedures and inclusive teaching strategies. So I decided to go back to school and make a shift to special education. And I obtained a teaching license in special education while I went to get my master's degree in the same area. So over the course of 10 years in K-12 education, I taught 7 years in special education, and I found a particular fulfillment in teaching special education virtually. So I did that for 6 years. And then while I was doing my master's program, I discovered that my experience in gen ed was not unique. In fact, there was a recent study by the NCLD, which is the National Center for Learning Disabilities, that 70% of general education teachers feel unprepared to support students with mild to moderate learning disabilities. So when I started studying this and I came upon it, I decided to reinvest myself into teacher education. And that's ultimately what led me to St. Mary's. And, you know, general education requirements have become more inclusive of special education, but I also know that many special educators in Minnesota are working on temporary licenses. So my goal in working here is to support them and provide them mentorship and leadership. And that's something that I didn't have in my training that I really wished I had. So in addition to that, I'm also working on my doctorate in education, and that's focused on educational technology. And I'm just about to start my dissertation for that. And it's focused on assistive technology. So that would just be how to support special education students inclusively with technology in the classroom. So that's probably more than you bargained for, but that's what brought me to this point.
All right. Thanks for that, Kate. So a 2023 Pew Research report found that the total number of students in special education went from 3.6 million in the 1976-77 school year to almost 7.3 million in the 2021-22 school year. These students now make up 15% of the K-12 student population across the country. Locally here, the Minnesota Rural Education Association reported the number of students in special education grew from 115,000 in 2003 to 147,000 in 2019. As someone who works in the special education field and works with educators, do these numbers surprise you, and do they reflect what educators are seeing in schools?
You know, Ben, I'm not surprised by that statistic. I think part of that is just the history of special education and just, you know, experience of working in it. But the educational landscape has undergone significant changes just over time with various reforms and factors. But one of the major contributors to the rise in special education was definitely the enactment of IDEA, which is the Individuals with Disability in Education Act. And that came about in 1990. But it was previously titled as the Education for All Handicapped Children Act, which is the EAHCA. And that started in 1975. So the statistics you laid out there, them started right after that initial act, which laid the foundation for special education, and then continued to evolve and broaden what we defined as eligibility for special education. So even the name change to the statute in 1990, changing from the Education for All Handicapped Children Act to Individuals with Disability Act, just that simple name change reflects a more inclusive platform, just a broader understanding and recognition of the rights and dignity of individuals who have disabilities. But the biggest thing within the context of your question is that IDEA expanded who can qualify for special education services. So initially, the first act, it only covered students who qualified for what they considered to be a handicap. So that would be just 11 specific areas, largely things like hearing impairments, speech and language, visual impairments, and so on. And then IDEA in 1990 expanded this to include categories like specific learning disabilities, multiple disabilities, developmental delays, and so on. So it went from 11 categories to now 14 categories. And this made it possible for people who had mild to moderate learning disabilities like dyslexia, ADHD, ASD, and so on to receive services. So I think the kind of historical backing of those statutes really has a big impact on who qualifies and what services they receive. And then another important thing to add to that, Ben, is that there was something called Child Fine. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. But in 2004, IDEA required something, a new provision called Child Fine. And this requires that all states need to identify, locate, and evaluate children with disabilities. So this means that schools and states, now Minnesota Department of Education, for example, oversees Child Fine procedures. And this requires that any student that not only that you progress monitor all students, but that you report them if you believe they may have a deficit in a skill area. And then that would go to a Child Fine committee who would then possibly conduct an evaluation or conduct a series of interventions. So this obviously had a big impact as well, because now the schools are responsible, the teachers are responsible. Parents are more aware, and so you just see a bigger increase in the amount of people identified with special needs and potential services in special education. So then, of course, that too comes with federal funding, so there's more pressure on the state. And in fact, Minnesota was at risk of losing $219 million of federal funding this year due to an IDEA violation. They've corrected that now, but it just goes to show the kind of immense pressure to make sure that they're following these procedures and identifying students with special need.
Wow.
So when I saw that question, the first thing that popped into my head, of course, was the legal bindings of special education and the requirements we have to uphold to ensure that students receive those services. And then when you couple that with just, you know, other contributors like increased parental advocacy, increased awareness, understanding, and acceptance of cognitive, mental, and behavioral impairments, and then higher awareness of special education services. And then there's this legal document now by IDEA that's called the IEP. And so there's all of these different factors that kind of amount to a greater number of individuals who are eligible for services, I guess, in special education.
Yeah.
So, yep.
All right. You know, in a 2023 Education Week article, the publication pointed to three things that are driving a rise in special education. Those include an overemphasis on academics in the classroom and a lack of focus on social, emotional, and behavioral skills necessary to function in school. Autism and ADHD diagnoses that weren't considered a disability category until 1990, which has raised the number of students who are in special education settings, and an increased stigma around special education.
Yeah, I think, you know, it depends on which research study you pick up. There's, you know, special education is such a multifaceted topic and, you know, research points to a lot of different areas, but changes to IDEA certainly widen the range of eligibility.
Right.
IDEA reflects just a more inclusive platform in general. And I think that society just as a whole has shifted to a reduced stigma around impairments and disabilities. And that we're trying to make a world where we kind of adjust our environments to meet the needs of people versus adjusting the people to meet the needs of the environment. So I think that's something we see just kind of as a whole. And ideally, I hope it continues to grow more into that. And in terms of the first part, which is overemphasis on academics. So in the history segment of my education, I studied a lot of education reform. And I always think about this quote by a researcher named George Simmons. And he says that the blame for diminished global competitiveness falls on the feet of educators. So anytime the United States is falling behind in competitiveness for innovation and global economy, education tends to go into reform. So he calls it kind of a scapegoat for the pitfalls of the United States. So anytime we see, you know, post-war eras and things like that, you also kind of see a parallel boost in academic standards for the education system. And so in Minnesota, recently, there's been a notable shift in kindergarten Common Core standards, which has an emphasis on increased academic rigor. So anytime you do that, anytime you add an academic standard, you take away opportunities or space for non-academic standards, such as those kind of social, emotional, and behavioral pieces that you mentioned earlier.
Right.
You know, kindergarten used to be more socialization, play, social, emotional, behavioral adjustment to the school environment. It's kind of been replaced with the notion that they'll just kind of gradually build those things into every grade. And so when I talk to educators, specifically young ones, or I attend state legislative meetings, I hear a lot of educators talking about that issue and how it's created a higher rate of problematic behavior. So, I mean, a lot of what I pull is from educator feedback, but as you described, there's research that supports the notion that there's been just a strong increase over the decades, an increase in academic rigor, and a decrease in time for those other essential non-academic needs. And I do think we see the result of that now.
We'll be right back in a minute.
Education is often synonymous with St. Mary's University of Minnesota. That's because education is deeply intertwined with who we are and who we have always been. With our strong reputation for preparing highly skilled teachers and administrators, the School of Education offers programs for new and experienced teachers, school administrators, and those seeking a doctoral degree. In fact, our school's alumni have received some of the most prestigious awards in education, including being named one of Time Magazine's 10 Innovative Teachers and having left legacies in schools and districts across Minnesota and the world. We specialize in developing ethical leaders to meet today's challenges facing education. We'll help guide you to develop the skills, characteristics, and integrity that are crucial to improving the lives of your students, district, and communities. When you join the School of Education, you become part of a vast community of leaders who are making a difference in education and the world. Join us by visiting smumn.edu. St. Mary's University of Minnesota, because of you.
With an increasing number of students receiving IEPs in special education, are there instances where we have students who may not need to receive special education? And are there instances where others are falling through the cracks who need to be placed in a special education setting but aren't? And how is that something educators and schools address?
Yeah, I think those are two really hot topics in special education, and they're termed as over-identification and under-identification.
Right.
So over-identification is an instance where students are receiving IEP services when they don't necessarily need them. And there's a lot of different research on what creates that, but I think the Learning Disabilities of America Institution, they say that this mainly occurs due to reasons such as misidentification of learning needs. So that has to do with some of the training and knowledge of the staff involved in appointing a disability, and then lack of appropriate interventions. So IDEA requires that you practice certain interventions. But again, if there's a lack of training in special education, identification and processes, procedures, and even just learning disabilities, it could easily be misidentified in that case too. So some of those intervention strategies, which are really building across the state of Minnesota, just in general have lacked over the years. And then you have to factor in things like pressure to meet academic standards, like we talked about before. So there's a lot of accountability standards with state standard tests and accountability measurements for teachers and districts. And so that can add some pressure to schools and to teachers. So that is a strong component. And then another piece of over-identification is disproportionality. And that's when a specific group, like a certain race or ethnicity or gender, is overrepresented in a specific category. So that's another really hot topic in that area as to what causes that misidentification. And then, like you said, there's the under-identification piece. And that has a lot to do typically with, again, awareness, understanding, and then visibility too of a student's needs. So if you're not entirely trained on what to look for, what a special need or a learning disability could look like, some of them are really hard to pin down. And then there's insufficient resources, teacher shortages, personnel issues, language barriers. There's medical systems that come into play that can prolong a diagnosis, like for ADHD, ASD, dyslexia, and those types of things. So those can all factor into under-identification. And to combat these issues, you know, procedures and policies in line with IDEA are probably our first line of defense. But there's a huge pull in the United States from advocacy groups and researchers to increase training for general education teachers and administrators in special education. And the goal of that is just to make them more knowledgeable on how to identify and support and intervene with learning disabilities.
Absolutely. While we are seeing a rise in students who need to be in special education settings, one worrying thing I see is the lack of special education teachers that are out there. The same Pew report I mentioned earlier said that 40% of schools that had vacancies for special education teachers found it extremely difficult to fill the positions or were unable to fill the positions at all. Is this a major crisis facing our schools in this moment?
Yeah, the special education teacher shortage is a significant crisis just across the entire nation. The recent report I read from the Department of Ed was 45%, like you said, of schools with vacancies, but I've seen reports at the start of the year as high as 86%. So this is a significant issue, not just in Minnesota, but across the board. And then those reports indicate that 78% of those schools are having significant difficulty filling the vacancies. So even when, you know, you might have somebody applying, you're still having challenges to make sure they meet all of the requirements set forth by IDEA and the state and so on. So yes, it is a significant issue.
What exactly is driving this shortage of special education teachers?
Yeah, it's really, again, just a multifaceted issue, but research typically draws to the increase of number of students with special needs. So we have this annual rise in students who are eligible for special education services. It's been rising every year since they've essentially been available, with the exception of 2020, 2021, which is going to be an exception to so many things
right.
moving forward. But this gradual and increasing rise in special education, and unfortunately, the production of trained special education teachers has not kept pace with the amount of students going into special education. So that leads us to a significant shortage. And, you know, I think, again, you can pinpoint many things that could be attributing to the reduced number of people entering the field and the reduced number of people staying in the field.
Right.
But I know in Minnesota, there was a survey that went out for retention, and the biggest pinpoint there was a lack of administrative support. Then workload, pay, respect, kind of prestige around the profession. And even in one study I read said that like a huge percentage of parents tell their children not to be teachers. And so there's so many different potential impacts. It's hard to narrow it down. You know, we have a general understanding that workload and those types of pieces, administrative support, are significant factors. But honestly, Ben, I think those are issues that you would have in any profession that's facing shortage, because you just don't have enough people to spread the workload to. And the administrators pick up a lot of that. And then, of course, they don't have as much time to provide mentorship and support. And so, you know, it's really a domino effect. So it's there's a lot of different things to look at here with the shortage. And it's not just special education. It's all of education, unfortunately, is in a shortage.
I see what you're saying. What impact does it have on our school systems and our students?
You know, the teacher shortage as a whole is profound. It places significant strain on the infrastructure and those who are in the school systems, who are, you know, kind of loyal to their jobs and are staying in. It just kind of creates more strain on those individuals and can create more issues with retention. So for example, you're legally bound to provide special education services to students on an IEP, right? But if your amount of students on IEPs is too high for your amount of special education teachers, the ones who are there are then taking on additional workload, and it becomes really challenging to keep up with the amount of paperwork tied to special education. So again, it's just kind of that domino effect of not having enough people leads to more work, leads to challenges with support. And unfortunately, students with special needs, of course, also face negative impact from that. So just not having quite as much attention as they should, or the teacher maybe doesn't have as much time to commit to creating and modifying lessons and so on. And so it does have just a huge impact on the infrastructure of the school, on the educators, and on the students themselves, unfortunately.
Mm. So as a university that trains educators, what can St. Mary's do to help solve this issue when it comes to lack of special education professionals?
So I have found it's essential to remind people of the benefits and advantages of a career in special education, and kind of rebuild the prestige and the benefits around that field, because there are so many great things about teaching, and oftentimes it gets so loaded down and bogged down with some of the negative studies that come out and the negative news and information. And so I've been working really hard to draw attention to those positive aspects. For example, there's a company called Get the Facts Out About Teaching, and our dean and I, Jack McClure, and I have been using this company and researching this a little bit to talk about some of those benefits. And in the study, it indicates that K-12 teachers rate their lives better than all other occupation groups, trailing only one category, which was physicians. So, and the rating is based on just a strong sense of well-being and positive views of their present life and of the teaching profession. So there was a list of various things that went into that. And the first, of course, was a work-life balance. Educators, that was probably my favorite thing about being a special education teacher in terms of, you know, just the job structure. And it was, you know, 9-month work schedules, 186 days in a year of work days. You get the holidays, shorter work days, it aligns with your kids' school schedule. And so many great things to consider with the work-life balance of educators. And then another piece of that is there's all these virtual schools opening now and all this opportunity to now be remote. And that's what I did. So it just kind of fuels that work-life balance, which is really important. And another reason was day-to-day satisfaction. So just kind of having those impacts of education. So really seeing the effect of education on your students, having a sense of community and involvement and being part of something bigger and better than yourself. And then financial stability. So this is a big one, and I'm just going to touch on this quick because it's an important piece for us to focus on too. So the state is lobbying right now for an increase of wages for educators. So starting pay, I believe they were trying to start it at $60,000. And this is something that's happening across the nation. You're seeing kind of increases in wages. But in addition to that, Minnesota has these great grant opportunities, and they include the Special Education Pipeline Grant and the Grow Your Own Grant. And these grants allow certain individuals within the school systems to obtain a bachelor's or a master's in special education with little to no cost to the individual. So the state is essentially funding people to go to school and get trained and receive a license in special education. So at St. Mary's, we're actively working on partnerships with local districts to support the education and training of these individuals and to try and use that real world curriculum to really merge university and workplace settings. And so our goal is just to build stronger relationship between school and university and state levels and just kind of collectively work towards the goal of improving education, not just for the learners, but the working conditions for the educator too. So there's so many great things happening at the state level to just kind of build up this profession and open that pipeline up a little bit of special education teachers. And then the other thing is the federal government also has teacher loan forgiveness. And so that's specifically catered for the most part towards special education teachers. And so after 5 years of special education teaching in a public school, you can qualify for $17,500 in loan forgiveness. If you do 10 years, you might qualify for public loan service forgiveness. And so there's all these great kind of incentives being built around it to try and bring people back into that profession. And I hope that it catches on and people start seeing that and getting back in, and we can kind of rebuild the system a little bit better around the educator and the students. And then lastly, because I focus on ed tech, I have to say too that new technology has made the workload more manageable for a lot of educators. So that's a piece I'm working on with my students, is just talking about how can you use this new technology to reduce the amount of time you spend differentiating and modifying assignments and to just try and help you manage that workload a little bit better. So I worked 7 years at the Minnesota Virtual Academy, and they use like the most cutting edge adaptive and intuitive learning technology there. And so you could have a classroom of 30 students all working on a different reading skill at a different reading level, but all, you know, fluidly working together in the same classroom. So the technology has really made it like just an incredible teaching tools, adaptive learning tools to make it more manageable. So that's something I stress to the students too. So there's, like I said, grants, tuition funding, tuition loan forgiveness. There's student teaching grants that will pay you up to $8,000 while you're a student teaching. And so there's all these wonderful things to try and help people to get back in there and see what a great profession it is. And we're just really trying to work around that and rebuild it ourselves too. So I think just as a university and as a nation, we're just seeking new ways to listen to and adapt to concerns of educators and just improve the recruitment and retention so that the students can receive the quality education that they deserve.
Well, Kate, again, thank you so much. We really appreciate having you on today to have this conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was nice to chat with you today, Ben.
St. Mary's Currents is a production of the St. Mary's University of Minnesota Office of Marketing and Communication. It is produced by Ben Rogers and Ashley Beeson. It is recorded, edited, and engineered by Jeffrey DeMarsh. Our theme music is by Will Vandekramer. I'm Ben Rogers. We'll see you next time for St. Mary's Currents.